and the activities of angel, not only in this dispensation, because some of the passages that were read in Psalms widened the work and activities of angel even in the Old Testament period. Now, tonight, first you will remember we are on page 6. And we have just completed part A. Which is verse 10. We will be going on to verse 11 and 12. But before we go there, there are two things first, next week, Wednesday night, I have been promising that we are going to spend two lessons. One of the lessons one of the discussions, Let Early Christians Speak or Let History Speak. That is on the subject of head covering. We are going to be quoting from writers from the first century, that is, in the time of the apostles, down the second century, the third century, the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth century, right down. And that is as they speak on the subject of head covering. In fact, I may just throw out here too, that we have the same situation, not just with head covering. There are many subjects that sometimes people make controversial subject today, not realizing that not only the Bible but history. One of them is the law, or the day on which Christians are to worship, celebrating Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And that, if somebody remind me, not with this lesson, but probably Sunday night, or probably in a lesson, I will address that subject and let early Christians speak on the subject on the Sabbath or the Lord's Day. You have Christian religious writer from the first century, right down. You can find prominent religious writer telling you what the Christians' belief and practice was in respect to the day that Christians met to celebrate Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. But in this case, next week, Wednesday, I think that's where we will be spending the entire period. It's going to be either that, or we let some commentators, both Church of Christ and denominational, and in that case, I will have the various commentaries. And we'll read sometime a paragraph, sometime a line, sometime two paragraphs, on what their comment on the subject of head covering is. What you are going to find is 90 to 8% of them, Church of Christ and denominational commentators, is pointing out that the teaching of 1 Corinthians 11, 1 through 16, out of probably 10 commentaries, I doubt if you will find one or two giving support that that is not relevant today. You see. So next week, Wednesday, for those who are interested, you'll find that quite enlightening, that in every age, in every period throughout history, since the Lord's church began, you have men writing and telling what the belief and the practice of the church was then. Two, last week, the point came up about fellowshipping. Anybody remembers? Nobody remembers. Nobody remembers. Somebody said, yes, nobody remembers. Yes. Sister Fisher Karen had asked a question in respect to fellowshipping and with congregation. Eve on the subject of head covering. Mind that fellowship with one another and not with God. Very important. Christian fellowship and divine fellowship was meant to be simultaneous. But what do I mean? It's meant to be simultaneous. That's right. It was meant to be something that happens at the same time. The Almighty God meant it that when we have fellowship with one another, we also have fellowship with Him. That's the way it was meant to be. But it's not always like that. The human factors, and that include the limitations and the ignorance that is in humanity, where no human being usually have all the facts. Are we all there? God always has all the facts. So, we extend fellowship on the knowledge that we have. And God meant it to be like that. But there are times when we extend fellowship where it ought not to be extended. But that person or person to whom the fellowship is extended also has a responsibility to God. So we must remember that you fellowship with me and I with you mean that God fellowship with. That we extend fellowship to any individual or group does not necessarily mean that God extends fellowship to that person or that group. Okay? So we must keep that in mind. And this is one of the areas where sometimes people misunderstand the implication of the autonomy of each congregation. That each congregation of the Lord's body is autonomous does not mean each congregation just do what it likes. Other congregation has the responsibility to make sure that the condition of fellowship exists. I throw that out for us to keep in mind. Okay. Yeah.
So, to comment on the same, the question that was asked last week, as it relates to fellowship with other congregation. I think before we any particular local congregation could get to that step, the local congregation would have to deal internally first. I'm taking your comments. As you said that, but before Patrick City, for example, would say, well, here is another local congregation who is causing men to be covering in worship,
mm-hmm.
and would have taught and shown before I am believing that before somebody could go and say, well, let us disfellowship with that other disfellowship, that other congregation, or not associate with, then Patrick City would have to internally deal with its members
very much so,
who are not so, who are not practicing.
Yes, very
all
much
these
so.
Teachings. Would
everybody get what Brother Webb just said? While I did not plan to take any comment on the subject, simply to get to the subject consideration, I made the statement just to keep that Brother Webb stopping before. So I'll deal with just that one. And he's quite correct that before we would say here is a congregation that we cannot fellowship with because of we have to also address sisters among us who do not cover they would have to be first be addressed before we could, you know. So you're quite correct on that. Anyway, let's get back to the lesson now. And remember, that subject is something that we can discuss at other times. It's just we don't want to divert from the lesson, but because that came up last week, felt a statement is necessary. Okay. Look at I want to look at it after verse 11 and 12. Much time will not be spent on that, those two verses. They are simple, stated, stood clear, very plain. In fact, could somebody just run through those two verses quick?
Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord.
Nevertheless, it's taking up not made for the woman, is it
verse 11?
Verse 8, quick.
For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man.
The "of" there means it's the genitive. It means origin. The man did not come from the woman. That's the idea there. And it is not talking about the biological process of birth. It's talking about at creation. Everybody gets it? You see, it's talking about God made the woman from the man. That's what that verse 8 is dealing with. So, verse 11 now. Oh, no, text so long to read.
Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman.
You don't have a mic, brother Webb. Did it? You choose not to. Okay. Yes.
Neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord.
What the inspired apostle said in verse 8. You are wrong extreme. Let that be misunderstood. The Holy Spirit is doing some correction. Even though the man was not created from the man and for the man, the Almighty God says that there is an interdependence with each other. That is, man needs woman and woman needs man. That's the way God fixes it. And this is what verse 11, read through verse 11 and 12.
Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman.
That's right. You see, this is interdependent. Each depends on the other. So it's like the Holy Spirit is saying, those of you who are eager to take what the apostle is saying in verse 8, please understand verse 8 within the context of which the inspired apostle speaks. Don't take it to a wrong, false extreme. You know. Okay, so that's verse 11 and 12. Everybody understand that? It's plain. No? Very plain, Brother Bramley. Okay? Now, I want to go ahead because I want to pick up a verse that is close to the end. Remember, from verse 13 to 15, we are going to, I was about to say we are going to run through that. But sometimes what you think you are going to run through take up some time. And we do not apologize for any discussion that may take a little longer than we had planned. Once we are not wasting time. We are here to learn. I was about to take up a particular verse. Verse 15. I was about to run ahead and deal with verse 15. Somebody read verse 15 for us.
But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given for a covering.
Okay. It's H-A-I, huh? No? Given, for here is given to her
for a covering.
Okay. There are many who say this means can you read that? That is, let me put, for her, here is given her instead of
instead of a covering.
Instead of a covering. Now that makes the passage saying something completely different from what it says. In other words, that last second there is telling us that the passage is teaching that she doesn't need any covering because her hair is given her instead of. It takes the place of the covering she needs. And what is the problem? The word for preposition is translated someplace in the Bible instead of. Anyway, you know what? Let us pick up now at verse. I'm going to, since it's right here on our sheet, let us pick up at C.
Judge in yourself. The word judge here means to determine, to divide, to separate, to make a distinction, to consider. Paul was not implying or saying it was a matter.
Wait. It's important that we listen and absorb. We are on the last few verses of the entire study over the next 2 or 3 weeks. Could be probably a week more than that or whatever. We should be coming to this. Keep in mind, we have 2 weeks where we will, 1 week, we will let history. Religious rites, and that most likely will be Wednesday night coming. There is another week we will let some of the religious commentators from the denomination and from the large church comment. Let you hear what their comment on the passage of 1 Corinthians says. I will actually be bringing many books here and just read sentences, paragraph, and whatever. Let you hear. But we are down now to the final stage. We encourage you to make sure what we go through is understood. Okay? Verse 13.
Judge in yourself. The word judge here means to determine, to divide, to separate, to make a distinction, and to consider.
May I just, the word judge also means to separate. And that is to discriminate. That is when you are confronted with many things. You know how to pick out the part that is relevant or good for you. So the word judge, it where you will weigh it from all the angle that you can read from and pick out what is the truth. I like this talk show, read the talk person. Doctor, where truth come to live and lie come to? What his name? Taylor, yeah. Dr. Taylor. Now and again, you know, you're passing and you hear the radio and he's on. One of the things I always admire is where people will come on his program and make statement. He usually want to find out on what basis, what do you have to back up the accusation, the declaration you are making. And I said, I always admire that. It's very important, especially in the church. And this is why people must be called upon to authenticate whatever they are. Don't let people just make statements, and especially if people's character, reputation, whatever is involved, they just get away with it. We know how severely the Old Testament deal with situations. Do not know. If you accuse me of something and cannot back it up, instead of them stoning me to death, it's you be stoned to death. Where we are judging yourself, and I'm saying the word judge means to determine, to divide, to separate, to make distinction, to consider. And I talk about discrimination. Remember, the word discrimination is used in a negative sense and it is used in a positive sense. And what we are saying, Christians must be people who learn to discriminate. Try the spirit whether they are of God. The Bible is telling us there, when it comes to teacher and religious teaching, don't just accept it because Jesus' name is tagged onto it. Bible saying, examine it. Okay? Judge. Read on, Paul was not what?
Paul was not implying or saying it was a matter of one's personal subjective conclusion or judgment.
This is very important. Judge in yourself. Paul was not saying the head covering issue is a subjective thing. You decide by yourself whether it's okay. That's not what Paul is saying. And we need to clear that up right now. I repeat, the inspired apostle, well rather, the Holy Spirit in Paul, was not saying to the Corinthians that you determine for yourself whether it is proper or improper for a woman to pray with her head uncovered. And I leave it up to your judgment. That's not what he's saying. In fact, in a few seconds or a minute, we are going to be looking how the word judge is used. Read on a little further.
Paul's rhetorical question is asked after and against the divine instruction given to them on headship, creation, angels, God's glory.
Stop there. Everybody understand? Paul, get this. Paul was saying, you are now in a better position to see the necessity of man not covering and woman covering when God is approached, considering that I have discussed with you headship. I have enlightened you more on headship. God's plan at creation, the angels that are present in worship and God's glory. And the basis of these four things that I have just previously discussed, you Christians there at Corinth are in a better position to examine, to discriminate, to judge if it is appropriate for a woman to pray without covering or prophesy, teach, whatever, without covering. Paul is saying, based on the truth in respect to God showing priority in a man-woman relationship at creation, the angels that are present at worship, man being the glory of man. Based on all this that I have enlightened you on, you now tell me, as this Paul is saying, you now tell me, is it appropriate that a woman pray uncovered? So, you all get it. He was not using human judgment as the criteria to determine subjectively whether it is appropriate or not appropriate. Man to be covered and woman not to be covered. He was just now in judgment position make a decision on the matter because further in life. Any question or input? Yes, Brother Webb.
I think that's a very important point, Brother Mitchell.
Very important, brother.
Because sometimes how this verse is interpreted is almost like it is picked out in a vacuum.
Yes, yes, yes.
So, as you have said, it's almost like look within yourself. All right, and sometimes we are...
Everybody's listening. It's important. May I ask, brothers and sisters, remember, the head covering subject going to be coming up in your lifetime, in my lifetime. Don't go through discussion of this sort and then tomorrow when you're confronted, you do not have a biblical explanation to what you believe. Because God will judge you severely. He has provided the opportunity for us to learn. He expects us to value that opportunity and value the knowledge. There is new interest being shown in 1 Corinthians 15 years. That is, wherever the Christian religion is found, religious leaders who have 30, 40 years ago pushed that passage one side from both the large church and denomination, they are now taking interest in the subject. So, and that is good. That is good. So what I'm saying, make sure in discussion like this, you share your knowledge on the subject and also you learn as much as you can. Start again, Brother Webb, please.
Yes, I'm saying that oftentimes persons will seek to take this verse by itself.
Yes.
And it would be almost like they would be saying, here is an argument now that look and consider and think and, you know, based on what you feel, you know, is it okay or not? Yes. Okay?
You determine for yourself.
Yeah, just based on how, you know, wherever you are, whatever context you are from.
Mm-hmm.
Just reason. And depends on how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
Then you answer this question.
That's right. Or make a determination.
I make a determination. But as you have rightly pointed out, well, it's two things I'm seeing here. One, this judge in yourself is really tying back. It's almost like a pause in the in the list of arguments.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a point of almost consolidating and bringing and summarizing the things and saying, okay, now that we have gone through all of these different points and arguments,
perfect.
Judge, apply rational.
Yes.
And not depend now on somebody else, but based on what would have been pointed out coming down the line, judge for yourself. Consider it in. Let it be your determination based on what was said. Is it appropriate, you know, comely?
That's right.
So that is one. Two, well, you had it in your notes. It's a rhetorical question.
Yes, yes, yes.
And the idea behind a rhetorical question is that the question has one answer.
Answer. And the answer is usually natural.
Is that right?
Yes.
So it can be a rhetorical question. You usually can't go the other way.
That's right.
In respect to the meaning. And so, well, I don't want to go ahead, but the verse 14.
Yeah.
Is that even let's say a person then was going to answer the rhetorical question opposite.
That's right. Yes.
It again puts them in check.
That's right.
And says does not even
nature.
So it then again guides the answer that would have come from.
Very important, Earl. Yeah. Just hold your point, Earl. Yeah. What we are looking at here, verse 13, remember, it's not hypothetical. We are not saying a person may use it like that. People have used verse 13. Where they bring it up and say, there it is. Paul is appealing to the judgment of the Corinthians that each person ought to decide for him or herself what seems right. People have used verse 13 like that. And that is butchering the scripture. You see, because it was not meant ever to have that implication. As Brother Webb rightly pointed out, and as I pointed out, the concept with verse 13 is the fact that, as if Paul is saying, with all the truth that I have shown you from verse 3 down, and all the scriptural basis I have given you, starting with the divine headship that God had set up from creation. When you, within yourself, examine the subject of man not being covered and woman being covered, Can you come to any other conclusion based on this argument? He was not just saying what he said before and then he just tell them, well, it's up to your judgment what you think about it. That's not it. Yeah, Brother Sterling.
This, you know, I've been sort of thinking as, you know, listening and thinking that even as we look at verse 30, there is a prerequisite attitude as we try to separate, determine the truth. And the word used last week, it's of this willingly submissive. If, you know, if we are not able, even before that, it's bad in denomination having this approach.
Yes.
I believe it is sort of tragic. The brotherhood.
Yes.
Have this approach.
That's true. Yes.
So I'm just going to look at the approach in the brotherhood. Being submissive.
Yeah.
And it's strange that there are those who will agree and they are able to judge that it is heard. If you go to 1 Peter 4 2, they'll agree on being where the submissive conversation is.
That's right.
Husband to wife.
Wife, that's right. Perfect. In Timothy. That's right.
I'm saying that submission to me is like if you say to see, do you trust Earl? I should say, boy, maybe just 90%. Mm-hmm. But the real answer is that trust can be percentages.
That's right.
You either
trust or you don't trust.
No, they submit. You can't agree to that chapter. And then when you're not coming now and applying to verse 30, where the approach should be a willingly submissive attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Because what this is the way is willing that blocks submissive. If we have a, if we don't remove will,
yes,
then we can't submit.
That's true. We have to, because submission means giving up our will to that of God, and that is always involved because it's our will. It's our will that is in the, that's the problem, you know. That what we want is the biggest problem between us and God. And submissiveness and submission mean that we will put our will, I use the term, under the heavy manners of God's will.
And this is one of the reasons, I think, my opinion, that we are not able to come to and accept this doctrinal issue is because as we try to separate and determine, we really think of what we want.
Yes. Because you weren't here, Brother Sterling, when we started the lesson, but we pointed out that for umpteen years, in wherever in the world you find Christianity, both in the Lord's church and the man-made churches, you find that head covering was sort of taken for granted, meaning everybody covered. I don't mean in just Jamaica or the U.S. Wherever you go, where the Christian religion was practiced in its purity or even in its contaminated form, head covering was taken for granted based on 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I shared with the audience here where it was in the early 20th century when women were sort of flaunting their hairstyle and other things that little by little the covering of the head and the hair become unfashionable. And as one author pointed out, and I read it here, it took only 30 years for the modern trend to take over completely, where you find preachers from every walk of life saying that it's not relevant to us. Just 30 years. You see, you're so right, brother. What we like, our will come in the way. Once we understand how important to submit our will to God's will. Remember, in fact, time is going so... Okay. Judge in yourself. We are going to look at one or two passages because it's time coming for us, time to close. Before we go to one of these passages, I repeat, judge in yourself does not mean that the matter is left up solely to anybody's personal judgment, and that whatever they decide will be it. That's not what the passage is teaching. Look at the passage of Luke chapter 12, verse 57. And Acts of the Apostles chapter 4, verse 19, how the word judge here is used in the Bible. Luke 12, 57. Read aloud.
Luke chapter 12,
verse 57.
Yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? Continue.
No, read it again.
Yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right?
Just a minute, let me. Luke 12:57. Yea, and why even of yourself judge ye not what is right? Was Jesus Christ saying that it is their subjective judgment that determine what is right? Yea, and why even of yourself judge ye not what is right? Well, was Christ saying to his audience that whatever they determine is right will be right? No. Jesus Christ In fact, it was a type of indictment, an accusation where that which is right, independent of what man may think, he was saying, you are not even able to see it. You see, let's run to another judge. Acts 4:19. Read it aloud.
Acts 4:19. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye.
You all get the point here? Huh? What's Peter saying to them? Okay, whatever you decide, if you decide that it is proper for us to listen to you than to God, if that's what you decide, that is the right thing. Whatever you decide, that was Peter saying that? No, Peter knew that this audience recognized that you do not listen to man over God. So he's appealing to the fact that within themselves they know what is right. And the right that they know within themselves, he's asking them to use that right to tell us how to respond to the command you have just given us. So he was not saying your subjective decision will be that which decide the issue. That's not what Peter is saying. Peter was encouraging them to appeal within themselves to the higher standard that they knew. You see, and you see, we are right back with Paul. But you know what? I strive to not to go too far. There's about two or three more passages how the word is judge is used. Next week, well, oh Lord. okay, we're definitely going to stop here though. We will pick up